how we are with one another. Paul says, going back to chapter 14, don't do anything that will cause your brother or your sister to stumble or fall. It really does matter. As Christians, Paul is saying, you know the truth. You know that God has put you right by faith through the death of Jesus Christ. Now, live it out. We can't be satisfied with saying, I know what the faith is about. Yeah, I know what it's about. And I can come to church, I can sing the hymns, I can put up with Bill going on, I can do this, I can be here. Actually, it's about how do we then relate to one another. There's no escaping from that. And I think, you know, for so long, the church has not really grappled with that. We've felt that church is something we go to sing the hymns, to do the prayers, to take communion. Church is about relational things. It's about how we are with one another. Very important. You know, it's a body. We're all members of that one body. Some of the members of the body are going through terrible times. Okay, that may be true for members of this body here at Christ Church. It certainly is for members of the body of Christ in other parts of the world. Ali, who came to us last week and is here today, was just sharing with me about a pastor in North Iran, okay, who is on trial and is about to be executed for being a Christian. He's part of the body of Christ. That story sadly could be repeated for others, but that's somebody who somebody here knows, about to be executed. We need to pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, and particularly those that are in regimes where they're being a Christian can put their life at risk. Ali wrote his name down on a bit of paper, which I have managed to lose. I can't believe I've done that. But let's pray for him now. Forgive me, Ali, that I won't get his name right, but God knows who that is. Lord God, it's very easy, relatively speaking, for us to be Christians here in West Croydon and indeed in this country. But they're members of your body that are actually suffering in terrible ways because they are Christians. And we pray for that pastor who, humanly speaking, is awaiting execution. But Lord, we pray that somehow you will intervene. Lord, we lift him before you. We pray for his family, if he's got family. And we pray for the Christians in Iran and in other nations, members of this body, the church. And we pray for them that they would know the prayer support of other Christians. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul actually knew what it was to be persecuted. He knew what it was to go through difficult times, and he knew that the church in some place struggled. And last week we were thinking about sharing blessings. God provides for one part of the body, but there to provide for another. So it's about relationships, so key. Now, I want to just come back again, because it is about relationships. But it's actually a relationship, a church that is built on truth. Verse 17, let me just bring that to you. I urge you, my brothers and sisters. Oh, I've gone too far. Have I gone too far? Sorry, I've got a bit confused here. Forgive me. I'll get there in the end. This is a bad show. Okay. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, I want to put that back up. Watch out for those who cause divisions and upset people's faith, which go against the teaching which you have received from them. For those who do such things are not serving Christ our Lord, but their own appetites. We are to build a strong foundation. Hang on, I've got very confused here. Relationships are one another. Let's try again. Okay. The importance of firm foundations in our biblical teaching. And We mustn't go against that teaching we've received. That's what Paul says in verse 17. Are we serious about studying God's word? You know, do we take time to do that? I had a really sad situation this week, heard of it. People are in a church that preaches the word, teaches, and yet their behaviour, something has happened that you think, you know, that is just totally contrary to the teaching that they've received. And actually, by virtue of the person's role in the church, the teaching they themselves gave. Paul says, stand firm in that teaching. Don't go against the teaching. I've got to ask myself, do I uphold by my life the teaching that I give and that I hear? You know, we do need to have that firm foundation of good biblical teaching. Paul, as he closes this letter, says about the context of his preaching, which is the good news I preach about Jesus Christ. The good news that I preach about Jesus Christ. So I've been a bit muddly. I'm going to have to ask your forbearance with me today. I don't know what it is. Perhaps my brain has not gone into action properly. Okay? But what I'm trying to say here is two things. One is, Paul is saying the church is about relationships. That's why he goes through this long list of people. Is people that he is in relationship with. The second thing he's saying is the church has got to be built on solid foundations of biblical teaching. There's the two sides. You can't just have one. Some of us are strong on biblical teaching. Okay, you know, what's important is what you know and what you believe. Others of us may say, well, actually, you know, church is about being there with your friends. It's about experiencing something of God. They're both true, but you need both. It's relational and it's theological. And as we come to the end of this book of Romans, we've got to ask ourselves some serious questions. Right, first is, do I have a grasp of what the Christian faith is fundamentally about? Do I have a grasp of that? Can I say, this is what Christianity is about? This is what I hold on to. Another verse that comes from Romans, which I know I've shared several times, but it's really important because it says this: I know that I am not under condemnation. There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay. Do you know that? You know, in the reality of your life, when you've got back home or something's happened and you're feeling judged and condemned and of no worth and you've let God down and he's probably given up on you, do you know that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus? You know, that's at the heart of this book of Romans. You are not condemned. Well, perhaps you don't feel like this. Perhaps you think, well, why would I be? I'm a lovely person. You know, I never upset anybody. My life is good. You know, what's the problem? Why would I feel condemned? But if you're a bit like me, you think, actually, you know, I just sat there this morning praying before I came out, and I recognised I've got bad shortcomings. And it's easy for me to feel under condemnation. I won't tell you what my bad shortcomings are, by the way. You can ease it out of me if you take me out for a drink or a curry or something. I might be persuaded, but not publicly. But they're probably the same sorts of things that lots of men struggle with. Okay? You know, that's why I feel under condemnation sometimes. Because I struggle with stuff and I fail. But I've got to come back and say, you know, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Right, thanks, yeah. That's the reality, isn't it? And I want you to hold on to it. Don't feel condemned. God does not condemn you. He forgives you. He forgives me by his grace. You know, we are not a condemned people. I'm saved because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's Romans 3, verses 24 to 26. I'm going to read that. This is a right key passage. Okay, let me read it to you. But by the free gift of God's grace, all are put right with him through Christ Jesus, who sets them free. God offered him so that by his blood he should become the means by which people's sins are forgiven through their faith in him. This is why Romans is such an important book, because it deals with the stuff that's at the heart of our faith. Christ dealt with our sins on the cross. We are free from condemnation. Right, I want to ask this question. You know, if I've taken this message on board, if this is the reality in my life, that seems to have stuck, by the way, Imran, I don't know whether you can move it on. If I've taken these things on board, if I know I'm not condemned, then is this evident in the way I live? Because it would be, it should be. I'm not condemned, I'm forgiven, I'm part of the body of Christ. So this needs to be worked out in us as a church and for me personally. So here's a final sort of question to leave you with. If a stranger or a visitor came into this church, would they be able to say, these people here at Christ Church know what they believe? Their faith is based on the fact that Jesus Christ died for them on the cross, forgave their sins. They're not under condemnation. They know that he has prepared a place for them. Do we know that? Would that stranger be coming in and saying, and they have built their lives on this foundation, and it shows in the way they relate to one another and how they are in this community? You know, it's a challenging thought, isn't it? Now, is my faith worked out in my relationships with you, with my family, and how I am in this community? You know, because if it isn't, there's something seriously wrong. Paul began that chapter talking about people he was in relationship with. I need to ask myself, am I in relationship with people? Do I say, greet my friends, greetings to you, brothers, sisters? Is that how we are with one another? I probably want to say yes to some extent. It's probably how it is in reality. But I think Paul would say, come on. We're all brothers and sisters here, all of us, members of Christ. So let's see our faith worked out in our relationships based on a solid foundation. I hope I haven't been a bit too waffly there. Forgive me if I have. I don't know where my mind was this morning, but hopefully the reality and the truth has come across. Let me pray that it has. Lord God, thank you for this wonderful book, tremendous truths that are there. Thank you that as Christians there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank you that you've forgiven us. Thank you through Christ's death on the cross our sins have been dealt with. Lord, that's such a tremendous truth, and in a way whatever else goes on we hold on to that. But Lord, I pray too that our faith will be worked out in how we are with one another. And if the world is watching, may they see a body of people who are the body of Christ, following his way, loving one another, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
Please stand. And we're going to turn to page 7 in our service book, and we're going to say what we as Christians believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit down.